explains, again, as I was saying earlier, every single point today comes together to me in a special way. So one thing I just want to start with, if you can take your regular program, and I just want you to pay attention to the words in the songs today. I want you to circle those words that says, I see the Lord, and I see the Lord, that song, I see the Lord. And the song, You Are My All in All, I want you to circle the words, You Are My Strength When I Am Weak. And Fresh Wind, I want you to circle the words, There Will Be Such Joy, Such Unspeakable Joy. And then when Sharita was singing, she sang, I'm so glad, I'm so glad. He shall hide me in his arms. Then Michael sang, it's getting hot in here. Must be Jesus in the atmosphere. And then Greg mentioned that we don't just forget about all of our ancestors that have gone before us and all the work they have done. All of those things I want you to remember as I bring forth this sermon, okay? Amen. Saints, as I've been going around my daily journeys in life, sometimes I stop and think, why is it that these people over here have these things, and why these people over here have those things? You know, we are all watching the Olympics. Did everybody watch the Olympics? Amen. That was a great opening ceremony, wasn't it? And I thought, wow, why did that person who put together that great opening ceremony, why did he have those ideas? How did he get that? How did he figure out to put that thing around the top of that stadium and have those people running on the side like that? How did he get that idea? Who got to choose that? You know, and then I also see a lot of people who are hurting, and I think, well, you know, why, Lord, why did this person get this illness? Or, you know, why is this person going through this struggle? Or why is that family hurting so much? So I thought about, you know, God gets to choose all these things, but what if God gave us the choice? What if we got to choose all of our joys and all of our sufferings? Thereby, I got these balloons up here to help me today. This side represents all of our joys, and this side represents all of our sufferings. And so I need some volunteers. I need three volunteers from you all to come on up and pick out your joys and pick out your sufferings. Come on, I see your hand. Come on. Okay, come on. You got three people. Whitney, we already got three. Who's one from the back? Thank you. All right, so Sharon's going to go first. Pick out your joys, Sharon. You can be first. You can be great looking. You can have the most intelligence and the greatest education. You can have a great career. You can be a great athlete. You can have great health. You can be rich. You can also have a great marriage. And you can be a superstar. All right, so Sharon, what you got? You got the great marriage. She rich. She a superstar. And she got a great marriage. Okay, so Patricia, what you got? What you going for? Just one set of balloons. Okay. So what you got, Patricia? Great career and intelligence. Okay, you're Jonah? Say your name for me. Joshua. Joshua is going to be athletic. No, which one you want? Great athlete and great health. All right, now come on over to this side. Because just like you picked your joy, you got to come get your sufferings. Now, you can choose to have a natural disaster, a tsunami, lightning, a fire hit your house, sickness, and lose all of your money. This is one set, okay? Then you can also, oh, you're going to choose that? Okay. Then you, okay. Sharon and Patricia fighting over who gets the tsunami. You can choose to have murder in your family, lose every job you ever got. You can be the last in everything you ever do, and you can also be a rape victim. You can also choose to be a substance abuser. You can choose to have physical or mental or sexual abuse. You can have the death of a loved one and divorce. So, which one you want? No, you can't. Oh, kidnapping. Okay. Sharon wants the kidnapping. And you're taking that you're going to lose every job you ever got. Okay. Y'all take your joys and take your sufferings, please. Now, wouldn't it be amazing if life worked out like that? We got to choose whether we were sick or healthy. We got to choose whether we were married, single, or divorced. We got to choose whether we were rich, poor, or in super poverty. We got to choose if we were going to be a rape victim or a victim of abuse or murder. We got to choose if we wanted that tsunami to hit our house or that fire. We got to choose if we were going to be the best athlete in the world. We got to choose if we were going to be first or last, if we were good looking or not so good looking, skinny or not so skinny. What if we got to choose all those things for ourselves? And I know some of you all are sitting there thinking, well, why do we have to choose the suffering at all? Why we just can't leave those there and take all of this over here? Have everything that's good. Well, saints, we all want to know why. And I'm going to give an answer today. And I want you to write it down so you don't ever, never forget. Okay? Here is the answer. This is the million-dollar answer. We don't know why. Say it with me. We don't know why. We don't know why we go through all this suffering and pain and hardship. Yes, we can come up with some really good reasons as to why we go through some suffering and pain and hardship. But saints, until we talk to God, we really don't know why we're going through the things we're going through. But we do know that they're all part of God's great plan. So saints, my charge to us today is that we are not asking the right question. Instead of thinking, why is all these bad things happening to me? We can start thinking, what am I supposed to do with what I have? You see, saints, we can get so busy sitting there thinking, Lord, why do I have to have these bad kids in my life? Lord, why is my husband acting a fool again? Lord, why did you let my favorite person in the world pass away? Lord, why am I the victim of abuse? Why did this have to happen to me, Lord? Why? But you know, saints, I realize that none of us ever come to this side and say, Lord, why am I so good looking? Take these good looks away from me. Lord, why am I so smart? You just gave me these brilliant brains. Lord, why did you give me the best marriage in the world? Oh my goodness, why did you give me the best marriage? Lord, oh my goodness, why am I the best athlete? Why did I get to shoot all those three-pointers at that game? Why, Lord? Why did you make my life so wonderful? We never ask why on that side, do we? You see, saints, no matter what we have been given in our lives, we all have a choice. We are either going to sit there complaining about everything in our lives, or we're going to choose to figure out what are we supposed to do with what we've been given. Amen? In our scripture reading today, we had Joseph. And Joseph, if you know anything about Joseph had 12 brothers. I mean, he was one of 12. And things were either good or bad in Joseph's house. You know, Joseph's brothers didn't like him that much. He was always getting him into trouble. There was a lot of things going on. He was his father's favorite. But if you look at Joseph's life, there's always more than one side to the story. You see, when Joseph looked at his life, he could have looked and said, boy, do my brothers hate me. Boy, oh boy, do they hate me. They always leave me out. Every time they go outside, they leave me and I'm here left alone. They don't want me to work with them. They just don't like me. But then his brothers could have said, we are so tired of that snotty kid. He tells every single thing we do. He always trying to get us in trouble. We are tired of that little snotty kid. Now, Joseph could have thought, I am the youngest, and I hate being the youngest. Anybody in here the youngest? Do you like being the youngest? Anybody dislike being the youngest? See? Some of us don't like being the youngest. Now, his brothers, who were the oldest, said, we are so tired of him. He is the favorite. He is the youngest one. He gets everything. I always hear the oldest kids, they always say that the youngest, they think the youngest get everything. They think the youngest get everything. But then the youngest think the oldest kids get everything. with another perspective. You see, Joseph was having these dreams. And I don't know about you, but most of the time, I don't even remember my dreams. But Joseph was having these dreams. And have you ever gotten so you got something and you're so excited about it, so you want to go share it with the whole world, and you're telling everybody about it, but then the whole world don't get excited with you back. So Joseph was having these dreams, and he was excited about them and telling everybody about them, but his brothers was looking at him like, would you please be quiet? We don't want to hear no more of your stories about you coming and taking over us. So his brothers didn't like the dreams. Again, in Joseph's life, if you look at their father, Joseph thought, my dad loves me so much. I'm so glad my dad loves me. But his brothers thought, our dad loves Joseph more than any of us. And I know every parent in here, if you got some kids, you've heard that story. You love them better than you love me. Little Mikey is the favorite. Mommy loves him the best. Not realizing that parents love all of their children, amen. We do love you all. It is a little different sometimes for some of you that act a little better than others, but that's another story. But there were two sides to that story. Then we have Joseph with this coat. And I again know every parent has had this issue. You see, Jacob got up one day and he thought, I'm going to go buy my kids some new coats. It must be getting cold outside, just like we're going into school supply shopping and school clothes shopping. We know we got to buy some coats. So Jacob gets to the store and he sees this nice coat. He says, oh yeah, Joseph, I really like this one. This would be perfect for Joseph. And then he picks out coats for everybody else. Then he gets home all happy because he bought the kids new coats. I know I had that happen to me. I bought my kids some shoes, got all excited. Ooh, I got these shoes. They was on sale. All right. Got everybody in the bunch some shoes. Get home. And what do they say? They don't say thank you. They don't say we happy to have some new shoes. They say, why you get those shoes for her, but then you bought me these shoes over here? And that's what happened when Jacob got home with them coats. The brother said, well, why you buy us this coat? This coat all short, and you got Joseph that long, beautiful coat. Why he get to have a better coat than us? Not even a thank you on that one. You see, you can see two sides to every story in Joseph's life. When Joseph's brother took him out in that desert and they decided to sell him off into slavery, we can again see two sides to that story. Joseph was sitting in that pit thinking, well, what did I do that was so wrong that they put me in this pit? I'm just, you know, trying to be a good brother. And his brothers were sitting outside of the pit thinking, thank God we finally got rid of you. You've been driving us crazy. And then Joseph's life continues going on. He goes into Egypt. He starts working for Potiphar. And he's working in this house. And he's doing all right. And he's thinking, you know what, I'm just going about my day. I'm not bothering anybody. But then we got Potiphar's wife. And Potiphar's wife is looking like, man, he is looking so good. And she a little lonely. And she thinking, wow, he is looking really good. My husband not home either. What can go on? Then Joseph's over here thinking like, that lady is looking at me crazy. Why she keep looking at me like that? It's two sides to every story. So then Joseph gets falsely accused of rape. And the other side of that story, we had Joseph's side, his wife's, Potiphar's wife's side, but then we got Potiphar's side. Potiphar been out at work, and he gets home, and he looks like, Joseph, I trusted you with everything that I have, and you're trying to take advantage of my wife? Three sides to one story. So Joseph goes to jail. And sometimes we can look at jail like it is the end of our lives, amen? Jail is a hard place to be in, saints. But sometimes we can look at jail and see it might not be your ending. It might be your new beginning. Might be a new start for you. Because Joseph got to jail, and instead of getting all sad and down and, oh, Lord, I ain't gonna never get out of here. I'm gonna die into the jail cells. He started thinking, well, I'm going to make connections with people. I'm going to start talking to people and getting to know people and making this the best place I can be. And he met two guys. He met the butler and the baker, and they became friends, and they started having dreams, and Joseph started telling them what their dreams meant, and everything was going well, and then the butler and the baker got out of jail, and Joseph just knew, you know, they was going to help him out. But then they got out of jail, and they just forgot all about Joseph. Just left him there. And Joseph could have sat there right then and there and said, why me, Lord? Why do I always make friends with these kind of people that just always leave me and bail out on me? But you know what, saints? Joseph didn't do that. And none of the time that Joseph was suffering and having a hard time and going through all these things, did he say why? He never asked God, why is this all happening to me? Instead of saying all these bad things are happening to me, he started saying, what am I supposed to do with what I've been given? You see, saints, it's amazing how we can always look around at everyone else's life and say, wow, look at what they've got. Wow, look how much money they've made. Wow, look at their car. Look at their house. Look at their family. Look how happy they look. But, saints, we don't see that those people just like us have pain and suffering. Just like us have pain and suffering and issues. You see, saints, we get so focused on the wrong question. It's not why, it's what are we going to do? And saints, our challenge here today is what we're supposed to do is to keep our eyes on Jesus. And I'm pointing at this because I always have an imaginary picture of Jesus right in front of me so that I can follow Jesus. You see, in our New Testament reading today, we had the disciples in this boat, and they was in the midst of this storm. And if you remember Sharita's song, that song is coming in. They were in the midst of this storm, and they were going through all this trials, all this stuff, and waves just hitting them. And I can imagine if you go on the Lake Erie in the rain, you see those waves just pushing against the rocks, and all the way onto the freeway sometimes the water comes all the way out. And they're in this little bitty tiny boat. And what's Jesus doing? He's walking around. La, la, la. It's a nice day. Getting some waves. La, la, la. Then he comes up on the disciples. Hey, what's going on? La, la, la. It's a nice day. And they're like, whoa, it's a storm. It's a storm. It's a storm. And Jesus, la, la, la. It's a nice day. Walking on the water. Walking on the water. And then not only is Jesus walking on this water, he looks at them and says, come on out here with me. Come out of the boat. Now, saints, most of us don't even know how to swim. Would you get out of that boat and go walking around in that water? No, you wouldn't. Me either. Billy said he can swim, and he's still not getting out of the boat. But Jesus says, come out of the boat. So Peter, the disciple, decides, well, I might give this a try. I might give it a little try. And he says, if you read that scripture with me on your outline, it says, Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water, he said. Come. So Peter got out of the boat, started walking around on the water, and came toward Jesus. You see, what Peter was doing was he was keeping his eyes so focused on Jesus, he couldn't look to the left, couldn't look to the right. All he saw was Jesus. He didn't see those waves billowing around him. He didn't see the water and all that deepness he was walking on. He looked at Jesus, and he was able to walk. But then, saints, just like us, what did Peter do? Instead of starting looking around. Start seeing that wave, start seeing that murky water, like, oh my God, oh my God. So Peter starts taking his eyes off Jesus, and he begins to fall. Scripture says that he begins to sink, and he cried out, Lord, Lord, save me. And saints, we're the same way. We start looking around at all our problems. Oh Lord, why is this happening to me? Lord, oh my God, it's awful, it's miserable. And saints, I don't want to diminish the pain that some of us are going through, because some of these trials are deep. When you are a victim of murder or physical abuse, sexual abuse, or anything that was over here, these are some hard issues to deal with. But let me tell you, you can deal with them if you keep your eyes focused on Jesus. You see, saints, you might ask me, what are we supposed to do when I'm in the midst of a divorce? What am I supposed to do when I find out my child is being hurt? What am I supposed to do when all these bad things are going on, saints? Jesus tells us in James. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. You say, pure joy? Jesus, what's wrong with you? Consider it pure joy. How can we consider all of these negative things pure joy? How can we see the joy? Well, let me tell you again, saints, how you can see the joy. You see, when we're walking in the midst of our trials and we're so focused, that's when we see Jesus. That's when we see the living God, amen. And if you think back to Daniel when he was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and they were in the midst of the flaming fire, they saw Jesus. It made me think of Mike's song, it's getting hot in here. So here we are, I could have seen him. I'm like, I'm going, you want me to come in there, Jesus? Then they got in there and I say, it's getting hot in here. It's hot in here. But Jesus was right in the atmosphere. That's how they could get in that flaming fire. That's how they can get into it, amen? Every single time we're going through the pains and trials of this life, Jesus says, walk, come to me. Come to me. Jesus wants us to walk toward him. So saints, we can sit back and again look at Joseph's life because we always play the what if game. What if I never had these crazy parents? What if my mother had never did this? What if I didn't have this crazy boss? What if I never had gotten that job? What if I never went in that direction in the first place? What if I never made that mistake? What if, what if, what if? What if Joseph never got sold? What if he never went to Egypt? What if he never got accused of rape and never went to prison? What if he never met that baker and that butler? What if he never became prime minister of Egypt? What if none of those things had ever happened? Joseph might have sat back and had a pretty decent life, amen. But he still would have had suffering. He still would have had pain, just different kinds. But because Joseph had the life he had, if he had not have had that life, then we would have never got to the events that occurred after Joseph. You see, if Joseph hadn't went through all his suffering, all his trials, all his struggles, we would have never gotten to Egypt. And if we never get to Egypt, we never get to Moses. If we never get Moses, we never get the parting of the Red Sea. If we never get the parting of the Red Sea, we never get to the Promised Land. If we don't get to the Promised Land, we don't get to Jesus. So if you see all those things hadn't happened to Joseph, all the events that happened in Joseph's life, the Messiah could not have come without Joseph. You see, without Jesus, we are dead in our sins, and there is no hope in this world. So again, you might be sitting there thinking, what if I never had this happen to me? What if my life wasn't so bad? What if all these things just wouldn't go on in my life? And I'm here to tell you, saints, what if God is using your pain and your suffering to get us through to the other side? What if? What if your life is going to make the biggest difference 50 years from now? When Greg again talked about that song about our ancestors, you know, it just made me think immediately about Martin Luther King. What if Martin Luther King had said, Lord, why did you have me born in this time? Why do I have to suffer? Why do I have to lead all these people who don't get along, don't want to be here half the time, don't get here on time, so that we can have civil rights struggle? What if, why me, Lord? What if Martin Luther King had said, I just don't want to do any of that, and had sat down in his complaints and his moaning and groaning? What if Martin Luther King had said, you know what, I don't want to stand out on that balcony today? What if he had changed his entire life? Well, if Martin Luther King and all those other civil rights leaders hadn't have done what they've done, hadn't went through all their struggles, if that one slave who had said, you you know what? I don't want to be a slave anymore. And he took all those beatings and all those whippings. If all those things hadn't happened, we wouldn't be here now. We wouldn't be looking at an election year with a black presidential candidate on the ballot. We wouldn't be here. You see, saints, we might not get the privilege and the opportunity to enjoy the things of this life that we want to enjoy. You know, I'm real sure that everybody who lived back in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s would have preferred to have the freedom that we have now. But they did not, saints. They could not get the fruits of their life. And I'm sure there's some things right now that we want right here and right now, but we cannot have those fruits. But if we don't do what we're supposed to do right now, there will not be no prize for tomorrow's generation, amen? So I'm saying to you, saints, what are you supposed to do with what you've been giving right now? Okay, you don't have the best job. Or maybe you don't even have a job at all. But can you still be the best worker that that God can have? Yes, you can. Okay, you messed up in school. Yes, you did. You failed that math test or whatever you messed up on. But does that mean that you still cannot be the most intelligent person that you can be? Okay, your marriage is kind of rocky right now. Okay, then you messed up. You said things you shouldn't have said. You did things you shouldn't have did. But does that mean that your future marriage is completely over because of one mistake? Come on, saints. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, we don't have to sink down into the murkiness of these sufferings and these hardships. So, saints, my final words to you today, saints, my final words today, saints, is for all of us, is that Jesus is asking each and every one of us to get out of that safetiness of that boat and to come out into the water where he's at, to get into that fire, so that when all those trials and temptations and everything is going on around you, you can stay so focused on Jesus, and then you can sing with joy. All that song, there's an unspeakable joy. You can have that joy because you see Jesus. Amen. Saints, God is so good. So good. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, you are awesome. You are powerful. You are mighty. You are majestic, Lord. And Lord, we don't always understand why we're going through all the different things we're going through and all the harshness and all the turmoil and why things have to be the way they are, Lord. But Lord, this day, we are promising to you that we're not going to keep asking why we're going through these things. We're going to change and say, what, Lord, do you want me to do so that I can see you in the midst of my pain? What do you want me to do so I can see you in the midst of my suffering? What do you want me to do so that I can show everybody that I know a living God, Lord? Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord, and we're praying, Lord, that you would help us, Lord. Help us to get our hearts right, our minds right, our responsibilities, everything. Help us to get everything lined up so that we can see you clearly, Jesus. And we give you all the praise. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray, and all your saints said, amen.